It was so much more condensed, like before, like when we all lived in the same city and it was easy and we were practicing all the time. It was like once a week. So we could just be like, what do you think? You know, well, let's work on it. We'll work on it. But for Melt the Honey, it was just like we practiced 11 days in a row, 3 hours a day. Like it was like
Wow.
boot camp. And there was like some days we were just like, I hate this. But we did it anyway.
There was a difference going into this album from the previous one, I believe, because you mentioned kind of the boot camp scenario. You were in Mexico to practice and record the most recent album, Melt the Honey, correct?
That's right.
And where did you end up recording the previous record, Crispy Crunchy Nothing? Was that in Toronto?
No, that was in Quebec. We
Oh, in Quebec.
found like a cabin because it was autumn, and you know we knew we wanted to record it ourselves. So I was like, you know, let's do a little getaway. And they came over to my parents' house where I was like the night before we left to record, and I was like, okay, here are all the songs, and there was like 12 songs or something, and or maybe 14, I don't remember. And they were just like, okay, we made like a big chord chart because there were some songs that had way too many chords, and that was a bit more stress, maybe not stressful, but just kind of like we were just less prepared because they learned the songs the night before we went to record, and they came up with their parts as we were recording.
So maybe like more spontaneous type thing.
Yes, yeah.
Cool.
I like the difference in the environments you talked about recording in, because Quebec, obviously, from the residency in Mexico, very different. Like, how did you feel the environments influenced the recording process?
I think like we were just a lot more laid back in Mexico. So maybe not too laid back, but you know, there's a couple songs on there where the tempo is way slower than we ever play like live. And I kind of like it now because it really goes to show how relaxed we were. We were like operating at a lower frequency for sure.
Yeah, you definitely get a, I almost would argue, a kind of summer vibe with Melt the Honey. And, you know, contrast a little bit to Crispy Crunchy Nothing, because, you know, from the album art to a lot of the feel of the songs, I'm getting like an autumn sort of winter feel for that. And I've had some people say the new album sounds happier. What do you make of that sort of description? Do you feel it is a happier record?
Yes, I think it's definitely a happier record. I just, the songs that I wrote were the product of like enjoying little moments. I mean, a lot of the other songs that I've written are about tiny moments that I have found and enjoyed, but they're maybe like more sinister because I'm like hating everything. So, you know, yeah, enjoying myself. Seeing little like details and beautiful moments and like wanting to cherish them in a song.
I read this and wanted to ask you about it. Two-part question, I guess. There's a lot of food references to your song in your songs, music and album titles. And I was reading, because you were mentioning, I forget where it was, about how you came up with the title Melt the Honey. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, and then maybe the food reference thing in your songs.
Melt the honey just comes from here in Chile. We have honey. And last year, so I brought maple syrup with me this year because I eat pancakes a lot and like you just need maple syrup. But I didn't bring it last year. And so we just like, in order to melt the honey, because you can't like boil it in a pot, you have to put it in a bowl in a pot of like warm water, like a bain-marie, because if you burn honey, it releases like toxins.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Don't do it.
Don't do that. Okay. Don't burn
So,
the
no, melt it gently in a bain-marie.
Okay.
Yeah, I love food a lot, so I just like, and I think about food all the time, and I like dream about various flavors that I would like to have. And I definitely think that like food and music go together really well. I like to listen to music while I'm eating, especially with another person, because I don't really like to hear other people chew.
that's a good way around that.
Yeah.
I do love this too, because I said this to Dave, I think right when the new album was announced around, it was November or December last year. I was like, oh, it's another album with a food title, because obviously Take the Cake and then Crispy Crunchy Nothing, there's that. And there's a great description you had for that as well, which I want to get into in a moment. I also love the communal aspect of food though. And that's something I'm wondering, is that an aspect of maybe why it comes up? Because I'm thinking communal aspects of food relate to communal aspects of music.
Yes, entirely. Like, I think the joy that you can feel when you have a meal that has been made from scratch, like with a bunch of people, like, you know, maybe everyone brought something from their garden, or like you're making a pasta and everyone is taking a turn, like rolling out the dough and like slicing it and stuff. And that feeling is kind of the same feeling as when you're playing a great show, like in your home, in like Toronto, and you're with like maybe a younger band that's like starting out, or you know, like just your favorites, and like all of your favorite people are in the crowd, and like everyone's buying each other drinks because they feel nice. And I love that element. And also like photographers, screen printers, like journalists, everyone like meeting in this spot and like sharing their opinions and stuff. It's definitely something that an aspect of food and music that I love and find very important for our mental health.
100%. I love that synergy that you're talking about with that. I did bring up the title of the last record, and I really love the description you gave of it at one point, but I'm just wondering if you could talk about the title Crispy, Crunchy, Nothing, because I believe it was, you said, biting into, I think it was an apple, like a tasteless apple, something like that. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that was when we were on like one of our first ever tours in the States. And I got some apples from Kroger's, I think it was. And it was a big one. And, you know, you don't get a lot of fresh food all the time when you're on tour. So I was excited about this one. And then I got to the core and it was like moldy inside. Like it was all fuzzy. And I was like, what the hell? That's weird, because usually when an apple is putrefying, you can tell from the outside. Yeah. And then I just kind of saw it as like, as I do with maybe too many things, like I saw it as a metaphor for like industrial farming and just like how sickly like things can be, people can be, like food can be, and you wouldn't know it because it's like, it seems healthy, but like it's not, it doesn't have like richness and hefty, like, you know, flavor, and like, it doesn't show that it's, yeah. No, you know what I mean?
It's hiding its putrefaction. Yeah, it's,
yeah.
I do think it's a good metaphor. And I think like a lot of the material you write, whether it's a lyric or an album title, like I think there's a lot of depth in it. Like you said, like highlighting these small moments that I think most people would, you know, just glance by, but then there's a certain profundity in them, something that really just makes you click and go, this means something, or there's some significance to this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to talk about another aspect of your lyrics. Sometimes they seem to reflect frustrations or bewildering experiences that you have. How biographic are your songs? And then we wanted to just ask about a couple of the songs, how you came up with them.
I would say pretty well, like, biographic.
Okay.
I think sometimes, like, I'll be able to use biographical moments as a like diving board, and if I can kind of spin some lyrics together, like, you know, if some words end up tumbling out that sound good with the stuff that's true, but maybe I'll just keep it because I'm like, oh, well, it doesn't all have to be true. Like the rules of songwriting are that it doesn't have to be true, but it's like I feel when I listen to songs, I'm like, geez, like this artist must really be, you know, because you don't know how much of it is true, how much of it is fake. Maybe 100% of it is fake. So, I mean, I don't want to confuse people, but I can't pass up a good lyric if it's like, these words sound interesting together.
Yeah. We want to talk about maybe some of the stories about some of the songs. For example, like a song like Cling Film or Hold My Hand. Maybe you could just talk a bit about that.
Yeah, let's talk about Cling Film first, because I will admit this was probably the first Pack song I heard. So, you know, it has special resonance with me. And I know it had some interesting origins, if you could just talk about that a little bit.
It was, I mean, I guess Cling Film, I mention it because Well, I was thinking about lunches that you bring when you go to school, and you have like that banana that like you forget that's at the bottom of your bag. And after like, I don't know how long, it could be like a month or something, or maybe it's in your locker and you're just like, you pull it out and you're like, oh my God, I forgot it was there. And it's splooging out everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was about at the end of like the previous relationship that I had, it was about like feeling like a little lunch that was wrapped up in saran wrap and like left at the bottom of his bag.
It's a great metaphor. I love that.
Thank you.
Dave did mention another title. I want to talk about this because I don't know if this is true or not, but someone told me Hold My Hand was about you getting hit by a bicycle.
Yeah, I was on a bicycle.
Oh, okay.
And I got doored.
Oh, did you fly off the bicycle?
Yes. So the whole first part is of the song is true. Like, I was biking, got doored, flew into the middle of the street, and there were these guys like sitting across the street drinking Laker ice. Are you guys, wait, is C J A M,
yeah,
are you guys Canadian?
Yeah, we're
we
in
are,
Windsor.
Yeah.
Where are you in
Windsor, Ontario?
Windsor, okay.
Yeah.
You guys know, yes, what Laker ice is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and they yelled like, hey, you gonna kill that girl, to the guy that opened his door. And it was so, so scary because it was like Dundas, it was like a busy street, but like it was just lucky that there weren't cars coming.
It's amazing, like, you know, in a split second you have a life or death situation that happens from doing something that you do every day, like bicycling from place to place.
Yeah, I was feeling especially good also that day. I was like biking home from a little solo drum practice that I had done. And so I was looking up at the sky instead of looking forward at the cars.
I see. I mean, again, though, also someone's not paying attention when they're opening up a door. Like, I think both me and Dave know a few people that's happened to.
Yeah, yes. It's messed up.
100%. You know, going from some older lyrics to some newer ones, what about Take Care? I'm curious about this song, what the origin for that might be.
It's kind of like, well, the first lyric is strike me anywhere, like, not like hit like that, yeah, but like a box of strike, you know, strike anywhere matches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like Lucky Strikes, like the, yeah.
They're like matches where they have like a white tip so you can strike them on a wall, on a brick, anywhere. And so I was thinking of maybe myself as like the kind of person that's very easily excitable about any, like, you know, situation that can leave you in an emotionally precarious situation. Like, you might burn too bright when you get excited about something, and then you're not taking care of yourself enough to, like, when you need to be picked up from that situation, you used all of your phosphorus, like, on being lit, you know, and you don't have any left. Something like that. It was kind of a reflection about how, like, when I fall in love with someone, I make sure, like, I really, 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 really want to make sure that they're healthy and safe. But I don't always put the same amount of importance on my own health and safety.
You know, we talk to a lot of musicians touring, and we do know one of the subjects that come up is self-care. What do you do for self-care when you're on the road and you're trying to find just food to eat or like a way to stay sane?
I can't answer that because I don't do anything. I, like, even on this last tour to Europe, I was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I'm tired of eating sandwiches. Like, honestly, I think the answer to that question, the real answer is eat sandwiches, because I tried to be like, I want to eat something that's like nourishing, that has greens. So I got a couscous salad and I ate it. And I don't know if this is the culprit, but I think it was, but I got gastritis, like,
ooh,
for maybe a week, for the last week of the tour. I had to play the Berlin show sitting down, which is like the least Berlin thing ever. So not cool.
Oh no.
And yeah, like I was so weak. Like I felt like I was going to die.
Oh.
And that was what, that was the result of me being like, I'm going to have a couscous salad and be, you know, healthy.
It sounds so unassuming.
Yeah. But I think honestly, eating delicious sandwiches is a good solution. Honestly, there is no way of truly taking care of yourself on tour, I don't think.
Yeah, we've talked to people before who have dietary restrictions or they are practicing vegetarians or vegans, and it's like nigh impossible to find anything out there. Especially if they're stateside or if they're going to Europe, those tend to be like the two really bad places we noticed.
Yeah, it's like you just have to eat, try to find fresh fruit. Even finding fresh fruit, like, because when you're touring in like the autumn, the fresh fruit, I don't even know, apples, like, but then you get moldy apples. So I don't know.
I wanted to switch a little focus here. Not that I love talking about food and stuff, because I find it actually a lot of times, even when I'm at work or talking with friends, they're like, you talk about food too much. And I'm like, really? Okay. Anyways, it's happening again.
No such thing as too much food talk.
Thank you. I'll tell them that. but I wanted to ask maybe just about, like, for example, when you were recording Melt the Honey and Crispy Crunchy Nothing with the band, when you actually record the songs, like, in the studio, are you doing it kind of like almost live? Like, is it, and then you're adding stuff on top, or do you do it like separate? Like, or is it different every time?
Well, yeah, for Crispy Crunchy Nothing, we recorded to a click. Shane went first on the drums and then bass and then guitar. Well, and then I sang or something like that, something very procedural. Whereas for Melt the Honey, we did, I would sit in the bathroom that was connected to the place, the area that we were recording, and I would play along for every take of every song, and Shane and Noah would record drums and bass at the same time, and then Dexter like would kind of work away in his like little mad genius little area, and I would record vocals as we went and guitar as we went, like in various rooms in the house. So it always, there was no click for this one, because I was just like, I had a hate on for the click.
Well, like, you know, like I really like that too, like when bands just kind of play as, you know, because it gives it a different vibe for sure. Not that, like, and I love Crispy Crunchy Nothing, it has that vibe, but this one has a little something else that, and maybe that's what it is. I don't know. I was just curious about that.
I want to ask about future songwriting goals, because you've changed the sound up for PAX quite a bit. It has a looser feel on the new record, which I'm really digging. It has, like I said, that kind of summery vibe. But I'm wondering if there's any elements you want to include in upcoming recordings, whether that's songwriting ideas or if it's inclusion of different instruments. Like, what would you like to do with PAX going forward?
Well, I like having dreams, but in terms of goals, I think in terms of songwriting, I don't want to force anything, because then it might seem like it doesn't make sense. So I'm hoping that in the future, someday, what might make sense is instrumentation like trumpet, trombone. I know my mom plays trombone, so I know that wouldn't be that outlandish. Clarinet. Did I already say clarinet?
No, not yet. No.
Oh, okay. But you know, beautiful wind instruments like that. I love how wind instruments sound on songs, but that would require, I think it would require sort of a different way of writing songs, maybe like starting on a piano or something. So I don't know what's gonna happen next, because I'm like glued to the guitar. I love the guitar so much, and I don't know how much, like, when you have a guitar, drums, bass, and another guitar already, that's like a lot to me. It feels like a lot. I don't like seeing a track or a project with like more than, I don't know, 12 tracks.
Yeah, so. Sometimes, like, especially now with digital, you can add a bunch of stuff, but you look at the session and it's like, oh, there's over 20 things going on here, you know? But
it's a lot.
It depends what you're trying to do as well, but yeah, that would intimidate me. I'd be like, why is there so many of those things there? Why is there so many tracks? But anyways, I want to ask about, you know, there's a lot of, you know, unfortunately we have to label things with genres and stuff. A lot of people call PAX slacker rock or lo-fi. How do you feel about those labels? Do you think it's like an accurate description or what do you think of that?
Slacker rock, lo-fi.
Yeah.
I like lo-fi. That's a nice one. I've never used that. Slacker, I think we work really hard, but like maybe on all the wrong things. In terms of making lots of money, we are not working hard at doing that.
That's okay.
I was gonna say, like, I've heard the term slacker rock used before for PAX, and it's like, but you have like an album out every year. It's like I don't feel like this is a slacker project.
We're not slacking there.
No. You know, maybe just before we go, I'm curious, what does the future hold for touring for PAX? Are you coming back to Canada for a tour? What does it look like for you for that?
Yes, we're doing some East Coast shows in May, early May. Okay. And then maybe some, we're trying to get to Chicago. So we'll hit some cities on the way to Chicago in June. And that's when we'll play Toronto. And then in terms of like the West Coast, I have no idea. The scene in Vancouver seemed a bit tricky with there being like one venue or something like that.
I think did you play Detroit a few years ago? Unfortunately, I missed that, but
we played Detroit with with Good Morning, mm-hmm, in 2022, and we played with, I think we played with Geese, okay, but I don't remember where.
That's okay. Do you think you might come through Detroit again, or do you think?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we are going to be going through Detroit. I don't remember, but yeah, I like playing Detroit.
Windsor's really close. It's like a 10-minute drive, so.
Well, maybe we should play Windsor too.
Well, hey, that's up to you, but we can help you with some people if you need some info on that.
And food. We have lots of food here, so we have that too.
Okay.
Yes.
That would be nice.
Thanks for talking to us. We just really appreciate that you spoke with us.
Thank you so much.
All right, okay, well, take care. Cure my head and lost the money, begged into a bigger running wave.